Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Just amazing weather here in eastern Nebraska. It's mid-60s. It's sunshine. We got the window open. TJ's being blinded. But hope you're doing all right. Excited because you have the College Football Playoff Committee doing their unveiling tonight. And, you know, when this was first announced, it's like, yeah, get back to me the last week of the regular season. You had World Series and election stuff going on. And then you had a bit of a shakeup where Washington was left out and poor old A&M got put in. Then A&M's kind of tanked and lost a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then you had the mother of all upset weekends in college football for the first time since 1985. And you know it's coming. Coach McBride said it best yesterday. There's just one of those weekends every year in college football where the ranked go down. They do. There's some unsuspecting squad from your conference or your division that's okay, but you've overlooked. Clearly, your team has overlooked. And they come in and they sting you. And it happens. It happens, and it happens so often. And to go unbeaten is, well, damn near impossible in college football unless you're Alabama. And even most of Saban's championships haven't been undefeated seasons. So the carnage has happened. How does it get sorted out tonight? And we'll dive into that. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and magazine going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Get his thoughts. Mitch is giving you his 4+1 throughout. We'll see what he says this week. Kevin Suits at 10-11 Sports. We'll talk with him. Big week for Nebraska football, not just because it's a chance to finish the year unbeaten at Memorial Stadium for Nebraska, but it is senior week, 17 seniors that I believe are kind of game changers for this program moving forward, the senior class. So we'll talk to Suitsy about that. Rick Pizzo going to be with us. He is doing BTN Live right now, but Mr. Rick will be with us, get his thoughts on the college football playoff and the Big Ten, their chances moving forward, not just for the playoff, but also bowl scenarios and possibilities. Ralph Brown. I had a chance to bump in and see Ralph this weekend. Just a great corner and All-American at Nebraska, 10-year NFL vet, 2-time Super Bowl appearances. Ralph's been on the show a lot. We'll get Ralph's thoughts on what he saw in person against Minnesota, what he sees moving forward, and what he thinks of this senior class. And then we'll get into some NFL in hour two. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. We will give you a chance at a premium six-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. Message boards, inside information, updates you want to get before anybody else. It's all there with Hale Varsity, and we'll give you a chance at that six-month premium online subscription, just one today before we are done. And then Secret Husker coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll tell you when to call in. When you do so, if you can tell TJ, the Secret Husker, that you heard on Gregeth and Smith this morning, you will get a pair of tickets to Nebraska and Maryland. Nebraska, Maryland, and Blur Party passes. So that's all good. We're going to be out in the rail yard at a tailgate, the final Home Football Friday tailgate. Your chance to get those Oris watches from Sauter Heyman, his and hers, the grand prize giveaway. You've waited all season long, and there will be one lucky winner for a his and her Oris watch grand prize giveaway with Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. So that's a bit of business. Now, I need a suggestion This is tongue-in-cheek. I'm kidding, of course. But my man TJ is not feeling well. I mean, right now he looks... Well, you're fighting through it. You look fine. But we need to send a nurse and some balloons over or something. It's Carson's favorite singing Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, just a little under the weather.
They're ringing the doorbell, and there's the nurse at the front door waiting for Ferris, and Ferris's sister answers. Mm-hmm. And then there's old gross Louis Anderson there holding the balloons.
I did see that movie, so I now get the reference.
Right. That's Carson's favorite scene.
Okay.
In it. He thought it was just hilarious. He cackles. But we need to send some get well vibes to you. All right. You all right? Can I get you a, are you a cold towel or a hot towel guy?
Because
you got chills.
Yeah.
Got the head cold.
I maybe go hot towel right now, but later tonight maybe a cold one.
Okay, because I mean you're like shivering.
Yeah. It's all good.
No, it's not. It's not all good because you sat in here for 30 minutes 2 feet from me. I'm sensitive about me. I'm kidding. I hope you get feeling better.
Thank you.
All right. We love you. We really do. Let's talk a little Nebraska football. And I know you're not geeked on Maryland, but listen, it's the chance to go out right for Nebraska for these seniors. And when you think of this team and this class, what kind of comes to mind? And you can lay out some words, you can mull it over a bit. And I look at some of these teams that are expected and projected to do well. And I go back to like the 1994 football team, or even a year before, 1993, okay? You had some guys on that 93 team, and I'm going to say Trev Alberts. I'm going to say Travis Hill, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. Toby Wright was really good. That they were really the first guys to – they weren't the first group to turn into a 4-3 defense, but they were year two of a 4-3 defense. Okay, and that's – Coach McBride talks about it. It's pointed out a lot, but – in 92, they were in a 4-3, okay? But it was year one of it. You were still kind of perfecting it. Year two, you saw what they did. They went 11-0, and they played Florida State for the national championship. And it was game-changing. Also, the 83 team, you know what they were from a scoring explosion standpoint? They were incredible. But in all honesty, it was the kind of culmination. 82 was great. 83 was tremendous. 81, they also played for a national championship, but they were 9-3. That was the first year you had Turner Gill, okay? And Turner was a shift from what Nebraska had been doing offensively. They were more of a pro-style, throw-it-way-more attack in the 70s and into the early 80s. Oklahoma had been running the wishbone. Got to beat Oklahoma to get anything beyond a Big 8 championship. The Big 8 championship equated the chance at a national championship. And there are some tweaks and changes that Osborne made in his career, okay? And where I'm going with this is those two instances about a decade apart set up so much success. You don't have success through the rest of the 80s without making that shift and getting a great player in Turner Gill at quarterback. You don't have success through the rest of the 90s with the pass rush and the man-to-man coverage and the speed element where you move guys that were safeties to linebacker a la Ed Stewart without that senior class in 93, really making it work and kind of showing it and paying it forward. So I look at this senior class, while they may not win a championship, they were the class that came in on the heels of the last time Nebraska played for a championship in the Big Ten championship game, and you know what happened there. And they've had a lot of rough lessons between transition, between guys who recruited them, between coaching changes, and also the fact that life goes on whether you like a decision or not. So you better suck it up and give it your best. And also about acceptance. Accept these new guys that come in because they do want to get to know you. They do care about you. And they want to win football games with you, and I'm talking about the new staff. And I look at this senior class as a mother of all hybrids. Okay. I talked about the offensive change in the early 80s, talked about the defensive change in the early 90s. I'm kind of talking a little bit here about a change when it comes to attitude. I think you have a group of seniors that no matter what, I hope the freshmen on this team, the redshirt freshmen, the sophomores, the juniors who will take the keys this year, really look at these 17 seniors. And if I'm leaving out a couple, if there's 20 seniors, I believe it's 17. I mean, it all kind of stems from Sam Foltz and what he was all about. But the rest of the seniors, in a Tommy Armstrong, in a Kevin Maurice, in a Nate Gary, in a Josh Banderas, okay, in a Dylan Utter, in a Terrell Newby, your wideouts, Westerkamp and Riley, Seathan Carter. I'm just going down the list. These guys have been through it all with losing someone they loved. They have been through the coaching change. They have been through the aftermath of failed expectations. And they may not get to a championship game, but they're playing well enough right now to get Nebraska football back on track to where they obviously always want it and where you as a Nebraska fan base want it, where you're knocking on that 10-win door. You're in the conversation for a conference championship. The next hurdle is to reverse course of handing out blowouts versus receiving them. And they even minimized that this year. And it was so weird to see that journey because a year ago, and TJ, you brought this up before the show, you want to talk about some, you know, when you look at what you learn about this team. Well, you learned Nebraska a year ago was pretty good. They just didn't deliver, or they underachieved is the best way to say it, because mm-hmm. of the talent level they had on the team. When you look at they're able to beat a UCLA and they're able to beat a Michigan State, that's awesome. But look at who you lost to, teams that are still at the level of 3-4 and maybe 5 wins, and we're talking Purdue and Illinois in Indiana. That level of team, you lost to a number of those teams last year. Obviously, Northwestern and Wisconsin were 10-win, 2-point losses, so you're right there with them. This year, man, you're right there against Wisconsin. Inexplicable about how you got buffaloed against Ohio State, but it happened again. And then to win against a team like Minnesota last week was pretty impressive from a bounce-back standpoint. Wyoming's going to be a good team. And I don't know where Indiana and Northwestern will fall, if they're going to be 6-6 or 6-7 or 7-5, assuming Northwestern maybe wins out. I don't know. But you're not going to have a lot of great wins on the ledger this year. Maybe you get LSU in the bowl game mm-hmm. if you go to the Outback. If you somehow get into the Cotton Bowl, that'd be awesome. But maybe it's another team out of the Mountain West. Maybe it's the San Diego State. I don't know that you're going to get a marquee matchup if you get into a New Year's Day 6 because you're going to be one of the last choices. But this team is going to be a team I will remember that has shown so much fortitude, that has shown so much character. And I think it's a combination with, A, how the kids were brought up, whoever their parents have been. They are hardened and extremely prideful about doing the job right and giving you max effort. And I think that's a blend between the old staff and this new staff. There was obviously a hard edge. But I also think that when I look at the senior class, they were forced to grow up. There were some tough love and life lessons for sure amongst this path, but this might be one of my favorite teams to have covered just because of all they've been through, how they've responded, and the turnaround. Because there was a lot of pressure and question marks and just uncertainty about this team. I mean, you knew last year's schedule was kind of like, well, that's not easy. This year's schedule, you're like, well, the schedule says 7 or 8, but can they do it? Because they lost all those close games last year. They got zero breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, they've made their own breaks. They've learned from their mistakes, and they've finished. Now, do you? The question to you as a Nebraska fan, do you give them credit for how they finished? Are they, because they're not blowing out a Purdue or an Illinois, are you kind of like, well, they're okay? Well, I think they're just kind of workmanlike. There's a little bit of pro style to them where they'll get the lead and then they'll just snuff you out. It's not about style points per se. And I think they've been so injured this year that it's been a real issue to just go four-quarter dominate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this transition. So I've rambled for about 15 minutes, but it's been about this senior class. And I think this 2016 group, if there's to be future success that engulfs 9, 10, 11 wins and championships, this will be the senior class, the group of kids that I think pretty much refined a culture and a style, similar to what happened in 81, some of those kids that graduated in 83, and some of the kids that graduated in 93. When you had shifts philosophically with offensive and defensive style, well, you had a coaching flip philosophically. Obviously, these guys have been through, and this 2016 group is knocking on the door, 9 or more regular season wins, and I think they've set a great example for the young kids behind them. We'll talk with Mitch Sherman next on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning today, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Coming up, Ralph Brown and Rick Pizzo. Welcome in with ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch Sherman at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how are we doing?
Good, Chris. TJ, how are you guys?
Doing all right. Pretty exciting weekend of college football. I spent the first part of this show talking a bit about what I think of this senior class and what they're going to pay forward to some of the young kids and maybe future Nebraska teams. I want to start there before we get into big picture. What do you think of this 2016 Nebraska class, the seniors on this team?
It's a large class, and it's a class, I think, whose legacy is not entirely written yet. This is a group that has an opportunity to win 11 games this year, and yeah, as Nebraskans know all too well, it's been 15 years since Nebraska reached that number of victories, and if this group is able to do that, which would basically require it would certainly require two wins here in the regular season, and either a win in what I think is an unlikely appearance in the Big Ten championship game or a bowl victory. If they can get to that mark, then that's yet another feather in the cap of this group. But already, it's a group that has ushered Nebraska through another coaching change, and one that I think people believe, and certainly these players believe, will be a coaching change that restores Nebraska to a place in college football that it believes is its deserving spot. And you know, we've yet to determine if Nebraska can make it back into a place where it is nationally relevant and at or near the top of its conference on a regular basis. But the progress that these guys have helped create over the last couple of years is.
We got you. Hello. Well, we'll try him back.
Mitch?
Your mic's on, pal. There we go. All right, so we're getting Mitch back. There was an important point he was going to make. It's kind of echoing what I was saying about just this class's legacy, what they mean to me, covering them. I mean, they're as tough-minded as you get. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. We'll see if he can finish his point. Maybe his phone just said, I'm not working today. I don't know. It's a little disconcerting. We love catching up with Mitch. Now we have Mitch Sherman. Okay, and we'll have him continue on. Mitch, you're about to make the most amazing point about this senior class.
Well, what did you hear? Did you hear any of my points? Because I thought you just hung.
We heard nothing. So repeat okay. those points.
Okay, well, I'll give you the condensed version. Because I was still talking up until TJ called me back or close to it.
Way to stay with it, brother.
Yeah, it was great. I had a significant audience there, but my point was that this senior class has a chance to do something that has not been done in Nebraska in a long time, and that's reach the 11 win benchmark, and that's going to require a couple of victories here over the next 2 weeks, and then another one either in the Big Ten championship game or in a bowl game. I suppose it could get to 12 wins, but let's look for 11 and say that hasn't been done at Nebraska since 2001. And this senior class has helped usher Nebraska through a coaching change. It's a huge group that is chock full of guys who represent, I think, some of the great aspects of Nebraska football, and that you've got just in this group, in the guys who will be honored on senior day, eight, including Sam Fultz, seniors who came to Nebraska as walk-ons, and it's a landmark walk-on class. And you throw in guys like Tommy Armstrong and Jordan Westerkamp and Michael Rose Ivy and Nate Gary and Josh Banderas, and really it's one of the more notable senior classes that's come through this place in quite a long time. And I think it's a huge part of the reason why Nebraska has made such a dramatic improvement this year, and has done so well also in closing out games because of that experience.
So I agree with you. 11 wins would be huge for this program, but I want to get your answer to this. I'd be curious what your answer will be. So let's say Nebraska wins out. They go 10-2. What is going to be their signature win this year? Even though last year's team went 6-7, I can still think of Michigan State and UCLA that come to mind. For this season, is it a possible 7-5 Iowa, a 7-5 possible Northwestern, or a possible 4-8 Oregon? Like, what do you think the signature win is for this team this season?
Well, I think for people who were at the games, at the win, they would say that the Oregon game was the one that was the most significant at the time, and it hasn't played out that way with what Oregon's season has become. But that was not Oregon in week three. On September 17th, Oregon was a different challenge than what Oregon would be now for its next Pac-12 opponent. So, I would say that game probably sits at the top. But what we saw on Saturday night at Memorial Stadium is right there too, because of the heroics of Tommy Armstrong and the way that he came back from that injury at Ohio State, and really the way that the whole team came back after a 59-point loss. Minnesota is not, a college football playoff contender and is now likely not a Big Ten title game contender, but it's a good team, and I think that win is representative of the way that Nebraska has overcome adversity. So I think you could make a case for either one of those games, and they both were at home and excited the stadium in a way that was fun for everyone who was there.
Mitch, you nailed it. I mean, that's just a perfect comparison with this class and the win this year, where it was a group that, didn't win a title, but they were extremely tough, and the bounce back part was proven time and time again. And we'll spend a couple of seconds here on the Minnesota game, and that was an impressive win, just because you never knew where their head was going to be. You thought they'd bounce back, they being Nebraska, but you weren't sure. And Minnesota's just someone you don't want to dance with, whether you're licking your wounds or whether you're playing good ball. I think they're underappreciated. You agree with that at Minnesota football?
Yeah, it's a tough team, and they take on the personality of their coach, and Tracy Clays is like Jerry Kill in that he's a fighter. I am probably somebody who questioned the direction that Minnesota headed when it didn't look outside the program, but The people who are making the decisions there, I think, are going to prove to be smarter than I was about that. Mm-hmm. Shockingly, they know more about Minnesota football and the climate there than I do, sitting here in Omaha, Nebraska. But I think he's the right guy for what they're doing, and you're seeing it in year one, and you saw it at times last year when he took over on an interim basis in what was a really difficult situation. So, you know, get used to this from the Gophers. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think they're a team like Iowa and like Wisconsin that has essentially mastered what it needs to get to do as far as collecting players for that program. There's a way that they want to play, and they recruit exactly to that style of football. And, you know, when you can go through a coaching change and not miss a beat in that quest right there, and we've seen it happen at Wisconsin a couple of times in the last few years, and now we've seen it happen at Minnesota, I think that says a lot about the stability of your program, which bodes well for the future of the Gophers.
Mitch, let's talk playoff here. Got about 4 minutes or so. How far do you think Michigan falls, and how high up does Wisconsin and Penn State make the run here when the selection committee gets on the mic later?
Yeah, I don't think that the two lost teams from the Big Ten are going to jump over one loss teams that even though, you know, you've got one loss teams that are coming right off of a loss. I don't think the selection committee will penalize teams for when these losses occurred. If Michigan and Clemson and Washington had lost in September, my take on it is that it's not going to look a whole lot differently than it does for those teams to have lost in week 11 four days ago. So I don't expect Michigan to fall below the two lost teams. I mean, Michigan beat Wisconsin. Michigan beat Penn State. So I think that there's no doubt the Wolverines are going to stay ahead of those two teams in the rankings and may well stay in the top four. I think you'll see Ohio State probably jump to number two. And, you know, for me, that's about as much as I'm confident in predicting about what's going to happen tonight. Well, Alabama will be one and Ohio State will be two. And I might be wrong on two. You never know. I don't think so, but I have been wrong plenty of times before on how this committee reacts to things. So, and then you just have to fill it out from there. But I would expect you're going to see a lot of those same teams. There was so much chaos and turnover among the winners and losers last week that they almost cancel each other out, or they do cancel each other out. And I like a lot of the same teams. They might be jumbled a little bit, but the top five, I think, is going to look very similar to what it did a week ago.
All right, as we wind down here, who is your four plus one?
Well, you know, I'll just follow up on what I said and say Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson. And, you know, I think I'd probably put Louisville at number five, but I think it's going to be real tough for the Cardinals to go much higher than that. You know, I think while Louisville is number five for me, Washington, if it wins out and wins the Pac-12 in a conference title game, is probably primed and in a position to finish ahead of a one-loss Louisville team.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, about 15 seconds. What do you got? What have you been working on?
You know, I was over at Iowa State today to document 36-year-old Matt Campbell, and the youngest coach in the Power Five, getting his first Power Five victory, albeit against Kansas last week. I spent about 4 hours with him this morning behind the scenes at that program, and it was really, really insightful and really cool. And a guy that, you know, you don't hear much about in Lincoln anymore because he's in a conference different than Nebraska, but a familiar place for me. And you know, very, very interesting to get a look inside that program. So that, and then a piece on Nebraska's senior class that we talked about here a few minutes ago.
I can't wait to read that. Mitch, you take care. We'll catch up next week, and thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Awesome stuff. All right, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine with us on Hail Varsity. Safe driving and demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. All right, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and up next, Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. We are less than 45 minutes away. Ralph Brown will join us on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some? some fun!
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Rick Pizzo, 20 minutes away. Ralph Brown on the way. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hale Varsity Radio. How about Wilderness Ridge Golf? I say that to taunt because some of you may be there already. You have great membership benefits. You have membership pricing. And thanks to Mother Nature, you have fall golf extended to near Thanksgiving golf. Check out Wilderness Ridge today, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Go see PGA professional Chris Thompson. Mike Shuhart, Shuey, our dear friend Shuey, out at Wilderness Ridge. Think about some membership options for this spring. Do some fall golf now while the weather still holds. And check what they can do for you on your swing lessons and that those heated hitting bays for you. So welcome in Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. Suitsy, how we doing? What's up, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We're talking some college football playoffs. We're also talking Nebraska and this senior class. And I think this senior class, and I know there's still games to be won, a season to finish, but just from their mental toughness, they're one of these classes that I think can move Nebraska football forward, similar to what the 93 team did on the field against a Florida State with the 4-3 defense. Okay, that was the second year Nebraska flipped over to that. And then the scoring explosion team is kind of the first year with a mobile quarterback, Turner Gill, you know of, obviously. But you've had shifts in schematics at different points of Coach Osborne's career. And this class, to me, and I'm not trying to go hyperbole here, but just the way this team's responded through everything they've been through, coaching change, loss of a great person and teammate, and the way they've won games this year, I think they'll set a great example for future teams. Do you think I'm overstating it?
Not at all. I think that this senior class should get together and write a book. I really do. In about 15, 20 years,
nice
some
work.
Of these guys, I would love to hear some of their story. We know what they've been able to accomplish and weren't able to accomplish on the football field. And I would just love to hear about the way that this unit galvanized. They needed to rely on each other based on everything that they went through. And that's why you heard these guys talk so openly about the relationships within the class during Monday's news conference. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, when things went awry, and it did more times than they would have liked to, and dealing with the loss of a teammate, it's such an empty feeling. And those guys in that locker room, they needed each other. So they have a bond unlike so many other senior classes that have come through Nebraska. I would just love, in time, for those guys to put the pen to paper and just share some of their experience as they get themselves removed from this experience. Right now, it's all still fresh. It's raw. They're still living through it. But in time, what are those things that are going to stick out? What are they going to remember about the way that they emotionally handled the firing of Bo Pelini, and then the hiring of Mike Riley, and then the underachieving first year under Mike Riley, and then having to deal with the loss of Sam Fultz? Like, those are some real life things that I think, whether you read it now, 15 years, 50 years down the road, it's stuff that you will always want to read.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would love to hear what their thoughts are on not one but two leaked audio of their former head coaches.
That too. Oh my goodness.
Hear about that.
There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it.
Okay, there's two chapters. Audiogate part one, yeah. Audiogate part two.
Okay, Kevin, I asked this question to Mitch Sherman last segment. I want to get your answer. Let's say this team finishes 2-10 on the regular season. Their signature win from the season is?
It
doesn't
North,
stand out, does it?
Northwestern? I don't know.
Yeah.
That is a great question. But here's the thing. They won the games they were supposed to, which is something they weren't able to do last year. So, you know, you thought at the time Oregon was going to be the signature win.
Has it yet to come? Is it maybe a possible bowl game?
It would have to be a possible bowl game. You look back at last year, you know, they won 6 games. Mm-hmm. And I think the big win for them last year was probably beating UCLA out in California in the Foster Farms Bowl.
Bigger than Michigan State, you think?
Yeah, that's a good point.
To me, those two stick out to me from last year. It's just this year we've only beaten two teams above 500 so far. And it's just, I feel like you're going to have to wait until the bowl game to get that signature win right now.
But there's something to be said for winning the games you're supposed to.
Oh, for sure.
in college football, you know, you just watch nationally, you know, how the game is played and how every single week there's an, oh my goodness, I can't believe that, you know, Clemson loses to Pitt. You know, I can't believe that this happened. Iowa beats Michigan. There are those moments. So I think if you can just take care of business, and I think that cumulatively winning all your home games, let's not underscore that accomplishment, because though they didn't play the toughest of opponents at home, being able to treat your fans to victories every time that they came to the stadium in Lincoln, that's a good thing. And that's one thing that you can really warm the hearts of your fan base and get them really excited about the following season. So even if they end up losing one, maybe two more games the rest of the year, as long as they take care of business against Maryland, I think that, there's something to be said for that, because when fans go to the arena and go to the stadium in 2017, they're going to remember those experiences, and that's going to be a good thing heading into next year.
Kevin Suits, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Kevin Suits on Twitter. Kevin, what do you think happens Saturday if Tommy's, you know, 2.0 here, if Tommy can't go? What do you think Nebraska will find a way against Maryland? I know their quarterback's iffy. I know their top tailback's not likely to play either because of the whole suspension thing. They're still good. Maryland still got some talent, got some really good team speed. You're nervous about Saturday if Riker's going.
Well, keep this in mind. Maryland is 5-5. They're playing for a bowl game, and they would like to get that accomplished sooner rather than later. And DJ Durkin is a pretty good coach, even like what he's doing recruiting-wise. He's a smart dude. He was part of that Michigan team last year that really jumped back on the national scene. To answer your question, what do I think? I think if Tommy doesn't go, I know what I want to happen. I would want nothing more than Riker Fife have a fantastic game, and some of those less than stellar performances had in relief, that they can just be pushed all aside, and Riker goes out on a high note. That would be just fantastic. Based on, it's a local kid, it's a guy that at one point wasn't sure if he wanted to stay here or not. He hung in there. His teammates encouraged him to stay here. He's, you know, kind of taken a big backseat to Tommy Armstrong. Hasn't played much this year because the games haven't been blowouts. They've been close. And I'd love for him to get his chance and to take it and run with it. That would be fantastic. And Riker is a great dude. I enjoy him. I enjoy his family. And I know he's really close to Sam Poole. So that would be an awesome finish.
That sounds like it used to be in the book that we're talking about.
We can put that in chapter 41. What I think happens, I don't know. I think that the spread gets a lot closer. It could be a touchdown game. I don't want to say they're going to lose it, but I think that it's going to keep you in your seat till the end of the fourth quarter if Tommy Armstrong's not on the field.
Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports, at Kevin Suits on Twitter. Suitsy, we will catch up next. Well, hold on. Let's do that. Yeah, we're not having Turkey Day yet. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday, okay?
That sounds fantastic.
You're awesome, man. It's fun to catch up. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Good, here we go. He's got it all planned out. He does. And here's the other thing. Doing what you're supposed to do isn't as easy anymore. That's evident by last weekend and all the upsets and underwhelming performances you see in college football every Saturday.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Thanks to Kevin Suits. Last segment, Mitch Sherman this hour also. Ralph Brown, 35 minutes away. Rick Pizzo, 10 minutes away. As we'll talk college football playoff selection committee tonight, some Big Ten buffet with Mr. Pizzo. Really good question by Stuart Mandel, who's on BTN Live from time to time. And we haven't talked to Stuart for, well, I don't know. It was the Callahan era for me. But anywho, still read Stuart from time to time with Fox. Used to be with SI. And this was the great question. I think it kind of got thrown out there over the weekend. Bigger gap right now, Alabama versus the field, or Lamar Jackson in the field for the Heisman race and then the national championship race. I just don't. I mean, Ole Miss was it. Ole Miss had the knife out, Bama unconscious, and then Bama responded and won by 5 in a shootout. And Ole Miss showed some guts the other day winning at A&M with the freshman quarterback. And their schedule's duly noted. Ole Miss's is. But Lamar, man, I think Lamar's, and we'll ask Pizzo this, Lamar's one of those difference makers that could go Deshaun and maybe beat Alabama. Because what's the Achilles heel of the Tide? It's been a mobile quarterback. It's been Cam Newton. It's been
Johnny Manziel.
It's been Johnny Football. It's been Deshaun. And then Louisville, I don't know that they'll get a chance because Clemson will probably win out. But between Petrino and Lamar, that's something I don't want to mess with. If as good as the Roll Tide defense is. Now, do you see Alabama?
I'd love to see that matchup. That would be good.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let's just throw head-to-head. Let's throw strength of schedule. Let's talk eyeball test for 2 seconds. TJ, who are your four? I mean, I'm going Louisville. I'm going Alabama. I'm going Ohio State. And I'm sorry, I think Wisconsin is playing the best. Those are the four best teams right now in college football.
My top four would be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Louisville, and I mostly have Clemson in there because they beat Louisville head-to-head, but otherwise, eye test, I think Wisconsin might be better than Clemson right now.
Eye test, not record, not strength of schedule, although that's a pretty good call when you look at strength of schedule because both those teams have gone toe-to-toe with a lot of good football teams. Clemson has won more than they've lost. But the thing about Clemson right now, man, is I look at the Louisville game, and I remember watching that thing vividly.
Good game.
Great ball game, amazing finish, and Louisville ran out of time more so than Clemson just beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Kind of like how get the first down and get out of bounds, man.
Right. Ugh. You had 30-plus seconds left. Okay? That's how I view that, and that's not a knock on Clemson at all. It's just, listen, Louisville ran out of time, and Clemson won. That's where I'm at.
Fair point.
Caller 6 right now, a 6-month premium online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. What do you get with the online subscription to HailVarsity, the premium online subscription? Of course, access to the message boards, a great Husker community, amazing content, insider info, recruiting analysis, breaking news. There you go. Caller 6 now for a 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity. Caller 6 now.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my name!
Hey, my name!
We get better, better!
We get better, better!
We get
better, better!
We get better, better!
We get better,
better! We get better,
better!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Jay back on Thursday. Busy one tonight, college football playoff. A lot of great football to talk about with the Big Ten. Welcome in. It's Big Ten buffet time. You just watched him on BTN Live, and you see him during the weekend and throughout. Rick Pizzo, at BTN Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Mr. Rick, what a weekend. How are you?
It was absolutely insane. Basically expect the completely unexpected. Hard to believe that our stats guy came to me after that Michigan loss and said, did you know that today is the first time since 1985 that the numbers 2, 3, and 4 teams in the country lost on the same day? Absolutely crazy. We should see a pretty big shakeup, I think, tonight in the rankings.
I think so, too. And let's go there. And from a shakeup standpoint, the question I have is where's Michigan going to go? Where's Ohio State go? And then the 2-2 loss teams that I think Wisconsin and TJ and I were just talking about that, throw out head-to-head, throw out strength of schedule, just eyeball test. I think Wisconsin's among the four that's playing the best football right now. They've not had an off week of of four-quarter football. They look awesome. I know they have two losses, but how far up do you think Wisconsin can get? And same with Penn State. Where's the Big Ten stack up tonight, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with Wisconsin is they're clearly the best two-loss team. That's not up for any type of debate. Do they jump Washington? I don't think they jump Louisville tonight. I don't think that they jump any other one-loss team, but I think they have a legitimate possibility to jump Washington just because Washington's strength of schedule was really soft heading into that USC game, and they had one quality win over Utah. They had a chance at home to be the USC team that was playing really well, and if you watch that game, it wasn't a blowout, but Washington basically never led, never had a chance to win, so I think they are ripe for a fairly sizable drop. And I think Wisconsin, the way that they have taken care of business, I would not be at all surprised if they go on top of Washington and end up sitting maybe at that number six position tonight.
I think you're right. Maybe they get up there. Penn State, where are they going to go? Because they're in a difficult spot because, I mean, they got worked by Michigan, but they beat Ohio State, and their loss to Pitt looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, their loss to Pitt looks better. The way that they lost to Michigan really hurts them when it comes to the committee standing. And I understand that they were a different team and they were really banged up, especially on defense, but it will still affect them. I would anticipate Penn State moving exactly the two slots up that are now not going to be occupied by the two teams that were ahead of them that lost, also with two losses, that being Auburn and Texas A&M, who both fell last weekend. So I think Penn State probably climbs from 10 to 8. I think the bigger question becomes, what does the committee do if Penn State shocks the world, gets to Indianapolis, and beats Wisconsin in that Big Ten title game?
That's a great question. Well, let's play devil's advocate here. What do you think? Let's fast forward to Ohio. Is the Big Ten going to get two in then? I mean, because the consensus right now is Ohio State's really good. They flipped the switch. And then if the Big Ten champ isn't Ohio State, don't you have to take the Big Ten champ?
Yeah, I think you do. I just think that if it's Penn State, there becomes a debate. I think if it's Wisconsin, there is no debate. I think Wisconsin, as a two-loss Big Ten champ, is in. There are people out there that are now clamoring for a little bit more respect for the Big 12. I just don't see it. The league has not been very good this year. Oklahoma is better. West Virginia is better. And Oklahoma State complains about that Central Michigan loss. But the league's not very good. And I want to stop hearing any talk about the Big 12 being in the playoff. I think what the Big Ten needs to happen is to make sure that Washington is not in that mix. And then that's pretty simple. If Washington loses to Washington State, very legitimate possibility, by the way, much improved Washington State team on the day after Thanksgiving, then I think the Big Ten's possibilities of getting two teams in gets a whole lot better. I mean, Alabama is in. Mark it down. They could even lose to Auburn or lose in the SEC championship game. I still think they're in with one loss. But other than that, it's open season between all these one-loss teams. And yes, Wisconsin is absolutely in the mix.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with his Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, let's go to Nebraska for a second. What'd you think of Saturday night and Nebraska's response game against the Gophers?
I think that I have a newfound respect for Tommy Armstrong because he played, obviously, through some stuff that he was going with after that concussion against Ohio State. He played, by far, in my mind, his best game of the year. I know he had bigger numbers in other games, but the way that he took care of the football, the decisions that he made, when he opted to run, the damage that he caused with his legs, I believe it was 215 plus or minus passing, 60 plus or minus rushing, 3 total touchdowns, and most importantly, no turnovers. That kid garnered a ton of respect from me, and I think from the rest of the league as well.
He was incredible, and we were talking about this yesterday. Was that his best game ever? I mean, and you know, it's getting down to senior day on Saturday, so it's okay to throw that out there. He's had really good moments. I mean, you remember the Michigan State win. The win in Ann Arbor was pretty special back as a redshirt freshman, and then the UCLA game was pretty nice last year. But he proved, if you ever doubted, that he's their heartbeat, and without him, they're kind of a shell. You saw that the team reaction when he went out against Ohio State, not that they would have had a shot anyway with or without him, but you saw it really go dim. And then last Saturday night, I mean, in Minnesota too, I mean, how steady, how tough, how physical are they? I mean, I'm hoping there's plenty of respect in your office and in the Big Ten footprint, but beyond, I mean, I hope Minnesota gets some respect because they played Ohio State pretty well. They could have beat Michigan a year ago, and they just don't blink. They should have had a win over at Penn State. Penn State, credit to them, they came back and won in overtime. But Minnesota is just one of those teams, if you don't know, you need to pay attention because you don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to get much respect from the committee, only because, you know, obviously they weren't ranked last week, so you certainly don't expect them to be there after a loss. I think the trouble with Minnesota is early on and in the non-conference, when you really don't play anybody, it's hard. With their crossovers this year and being in the Big Ten West, you have to do what Nebraska did and jump out to a 7-0 start. You have to do what Wisconsin did and get quality early wins like they did over LSU, like Michigan State, to make people take notice. Minnesota was not able to do that. And listen, I think that Minnesota is still a couple of years and a couple of really good recruits away. But I do like the way that they play. They are built on toughness. They're in the mold of their head coach, Tracy Claes, who's a defensive guy. That's where they're going to have to win. But they got to find a quarterback who can do a little bit more damage with his arm because Mitch Leidner has really struggled in that area this year.
What were your thoughts going in to Michigan, Iowa? And did you think, well, Michigan will find a way? Or did you start kind of believing Iowa could do what they did?
I did not give Iowa any chance until Keith Duncan's field goal went through at the end of the game.
Yes,
they played well. They did a ton of stuff defensively that I think confused Michigan. Obviously, Spate got banged up. But at the same point, you just expected Michigan at some point to be able to find a way. Jabril Peppers was going to make a play. Somebody was going to – nobody made a play. And when you allow a team that is physical, because Iowa is still a physical team, and they're at home, and they smell the upset, and they start to feed off the crowd, Michigan allowed them to hang around because no one made a play. Spate's been terrific this year. He missed three guys that were open on deep balls. Two he overthrew, one he underthrew. You hit any of those, you take the crowd out of it, you get your team back into it. It was the perfect recipe for Iowa to pull off the upset. What a great scene that was at Kinnick.
It was incredible. All right, college football question here. Who can challenge Bama?
I think Ohio State is probably best suited, certainly of the Big Ten teams, because they're the most well-rounded. I think Wisconsin's defense could hold Bama down. I'm just concerned about Wisconsin's offense and what they like to do against Alabama. I said from the beginning of the year I thought Ohio State would be the Big Ten's best shot at a national title. I still believe that to be the case. Then again, Wisconsin has proven me wrong time and time again. I just think when you break down personnel and both sides of the ball, it's Ohio State. Outside of Ohio State, I think it's probably Clemson. I think even though they had the loss to Pitt, their defense on most occasions can step up and play well when they need to, and we know what they have with Deshaun Watson. So inside the Big Ten, I'd say Ohio State. Outside the Big Ten, I'd go with the Tigers.
Any thought on this Thursday night? And I know it's not Big Ten teams, but you have Louisville and in Houston. Do you think Louisville survives this thing, or do you think they are the next team to go down?
No, I think they do, and I think they're going to end up being a little bit motivated by tonight. I'm on the side that I don't think they're going to be in the top four. I could be wrong. But if they're not, then I think that they're going to take umbrage with that. And I think Bobby Petrino will certainly play the revenge card and the respect card. And Houston is not the Houston that we saw beat Oklahoma. They're not the Houston that we saw in the beginning of the year. So I think Louisville should survive. I think they should survive fairly easily. But I don't think you get a ton of style points by beating Houston. Not anymore.
Lastly, Rick, and Rick Pizzo with his Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, what are your thoughts on this Nebraska senior class? We're going from playoff talk to a team that could get that 11-win mark for the first time since 2001, and Nebraska played for a title that year. Do you have a little different feel direction-wise for Nebraska because of these seniors, or are you still kind of waiting to see and how they finish the year?
No, I think that I'm just really happy for them that they've had this year. That last year, with a class like that, with guys like Tommy and Jordan, that last year wasn't the year that they went out on. That wasn't kind of their lasting legacy. The team that found a way to lose. Instead, they're this team. They're the team that's in the Big Ten West Division hunt. They're a team that has a very good chance to get to 10 wins. They're a team that played some really good opponents at home that the fans got to see. I'm just really glad for them that that will be the way that they leave Lincoln, that 2015 won't be the way that they're remembered, as, at least as far as their final season is concerned.
Rick, you're awesome. Great work as always, and thanks for a few minutes with us today. We'll catch up before Turkey Day if it works schedule-wise, and head into a big weekend of college football next week. Take care, and thanks so much.
My pleasure as always, Schmitty. Take care, buddy.
See you, man. Take care. Rick Pizzo with us at BTN Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Just find him and follow him, and we'll see where the selection committee comes down. Ralph Brown going to be with us in about 10 minutes or so, get his thoughts on Nebraska, this class, and some NFL thoughts. Ralph's a New York Giant, a Minnesota Viking, and also a Arizona Cardinal. We'll leave the Cleveland Brown thing out because they're not doing well. But, no, so good stuff from Pizzo. And I'm not completely down on Clemson. They're a really great football team. Shocked they lost. They've not been playing great football. Remember back in the day, pre-playoff, how you just got killed for when you lost? Not only if you lost, but when you lost. Well, that's kind of been thrown out the window. Because you're not going to see Michigan. You're not going to see Clemson drop much. They'll be in contention. They'll be right there. If you lost in the first week of November after being undefeated, goodbye. You need a lot of help, namely in the SEC championship game or the Big 12 championship game when they had one, to climb back. That's the truth. Now it's, you're all going to lose except maybe Alabama. So it's just, how bad do you lose to? And do you cushion yourself with a really good schedule? Because you'll see Wisconsin come in maybe at 6. I hope you see Louisville at 5. They're really good. I know their schedule's the issue. But eyeball-wise, they just maul people. They've had a couple off weeks. Like, it was 12-10 they were down to Wake Forest, and then they explode. Hey, run that meter up. So, we'll see. And then your top four is going to be Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, just because their loss isn't as bad as, well, I don't know. Their losses on the road, at least. Michigan's losses on the road, at least. Clemson at 4, Louisville 5, Wisconsin 6, Washington 7, Penn State 8. Let's see if I nailed that. Keep this tape. Zipline Brewing Company. How about Marcus and his pals at Zipline? They are craftsmen. They are focused. They are experts. And they're all about delicious. They're all about brewing amazing beer in Lincoln and pouring one for you across the state of Nebraska. Now, Zipline is a gold medal winning company. Their copper alt is tremendous. They're nationally recognized for the IPA they produce, and they have a beer for you. 40 different beers and 2 locations in Lincoln. Westo is their original tap room, and, of course, the modern German beer hall. I visited there, shocking to all of you, I know. But it's awesome. It's a chance to go sit and meet other Nebraskans and enjoy a beer. And be there with friends. The 56th and Pine Lake location is open for you Monday through Saturday, noon to 10. And then Sundays, noon to 6, 24 taps at that 56th and Pine Lake location. It's a neighborhood bar with community tables. So if you're coming into Lincoln from Central or Western or somewhere around the great state of Nebraska, if you're not in Lincoln, find your way to the 56th and Pine Lake location with Zipline Brewing Company, their beer hall. You will love it, and you'll make some friends. Zipline also available on draft and in 6-packs across the strait. Find it at your local grocery store or bottle shop, and visit Zipline. There are 2 tap rooms today, Zipline Brewing Company. Ralph Brown, Double Deuce, Husker Great, up next on Hail Varsity.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with a Husker All-Century pick. 10-year NFL vet. He's been to a couple Super Bowls. He's won a national championship, and he was on the sixth floor of Memorial Stadium Saturday night. Ralph Brown back with us. Ralph, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on again.
Man, it's good to talk with you. Ralph D. Brown on Twitter is where you can follow and find Ralph. He does TV out in Los Angeles covering high school sports, did some TV here locally in Lincoln with ABC post-game stuff. Ralph, you've seen Nebraska this year from afar. You got to see him in person Saturday. Tough Minnesota team and a bounce-back opportunity for Nebraska after that tough one against Ohio State. What'd you think of Nebraska's performance Saturday?
I think it was a performance that they showed grit the entire ball game. They were going up against a Minnesota team that was really confident, really balanced on both sides of the ball. But when it came to second-half adjustments, I thought they focused. They made their plays when they needed to, made an interception at the end of the game by Williams. And Tommy Armstrong, he got injured, came back in, showed his resilience and fortitude, put the team on his back, and scored that touchdown to bring the Huskers up. I think it was a great victory all around by the Huskers, and it carries a little bit of momentum going into these next two ball games.
You know, it's so important. You hit on the key word momentum, and there were some momentum-changing plays Nebraska made on offense. I think of the 4th-and-2 that you had the pit about swallowed a bug there. The pitch out to the tailback, and you had Trey Bryant get to the end zone on a 4th down. And then also you had the big catch by Alonzo Moore on 4th and 11 on that game-winning drive. And then, of course, Tommy getting in and the screen play. So you had a bunch of momentum-changing plays. But defensively, do you think the defense set the tone for that momentum to jump on red and white in that second half?
Yeah, you got to give them credit. They blanked the Gophers in the second half, came up with big plays, got off on 3rd down, got some key stops as well. And they've been playing on a string this entire season a lot of times when they've needed to step up. And they did it once again by making plays. The secondary has spearheaded the turnover spree that they've had. And Williams came up with a big one at the end of the game. And this defense, they've been having fun this year, and that's the big difference. They know they got to make plays. They're more comfortable in that system, and it's showing.
Ralph Brown, a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. And Ralph, let's talk a little bit about Nebraska here and this senior class between Armstrong and Westerkamp. You have Kevin Maurice and Nate Gary and Bando. What's this senior class mean to you? You're a guy who your senior year, you and Mike Brown and Vandenbosch and that defense, Steve Warren. I mean, you guys got Nebraska to a number 2 ranking. You're part of that last Big 12 championship or conference championship team. This senior class, when you look at Nebraska, what do they say to you? What kind of comes to your mind?
Well, you can tell they're all playing like it's the last time they're going to wear that Huskers jersey, and they're making their plays. They're all stepping up in leadership roles vocally and non-vocally as well, and they're putting the team on their back. They want to leave a statement and a stamp for everyone that comes behind them to duplicate how they're playing, practicing, studying, and living up to expectations. I like this group of guys. They're a special group. They've been through a lot with the Bo Pelini regime, had to carry over and come into a new regime with Mike Riley, but they've, you know, stood the test of time, and now they're playing really great football, protecting their brothers and making plays down the stretch like they're supposed to.
Ralph, what's that like? A little bit different situation. Well, a big-time different situation going from Coach Osborne to Coach Solich. Coach Osborne handing the keys over to Frank. This transition, this group of seniors, much different because of how the guy that brought them in was let go. And the new guy that they've really, man, they've kind of fallen in love with, Coach Riley, and it's hard not to. What was it like for you, part of that transition, going from T.O. to Coach Solich?
Well, it's tough, especially when you really have a bond and you really have a lot of respect for the previous coach. We love Coach Osborne. Those guys love Bo Pelini. They went through a lot with him. And then when you get that transition over to a new coach, it's not the best decision in terms of what you want. So we wanted Coach Osborne to be our coach. Not like we didn't like Coach Solich. We just loved Coach Osborne. It's kind of the same thing with these guys. You know, they really loved Bo Pelini, and they had some questions about who's Riley and who's his staff and how they're going to treat us. And once you get comfortable with that system, you have to buy in and go ahead and give your all. No matter what, that new coach is there. The papers are signed, and you have to buy into that philosophy and just try to do your best and buy into their system. And that's what these seniors are doing, from Bo Pelini to Coach Riley and his staff now.
Let's talk a little bit here about Tommy Armstrong. And does Tommy remind you of a teammate you had at all?
He's a leader. He reminds me of any of the great quarterbacks we've had that have put the team on their backs, making great decisions. And, you know, he's had a rough time, you know, in the early makings of him starting with, you know, the turnovers and struggling in different areas. But if you look at the maturation of Tommy Armstrong, he's become the quintessential leader. He's a classroom guy. He makes plays on the field. When he gets injured, he tries whatever he can do to get back on the field and lead his team. And a lot of the quarterbacks that we've had in the past, when I played, Crouch, Frost, those guys, even Taylor Martinez, those guys fought hard. They put the team on their back, and when they can make plays, they did. And he's staying in that line with really, really good quarterbacks of Nebraska.
Ralph, let's get your thoughts on the Big Ten and college football playoff selection committee. Will unveil their rankings right now. The Big Ten sitting great, or at least we think they will be. Ohio State should rise up. You'll have Michigan not drop ultra far, we think, again. In about an hour, we'll know. And then you have Penn State that's still in the top 10. They could surge forward. Then there's Wisconsin. You look at the Big Ten and you look at Wisconsin. Say things go crazy. Say Michigan gets beat by Ohio State. Ohio State doesn't go because they're not a conference champion. They're not a division champion, I should say. So it's Penn State and Wisconsin, assuming Wisconsin wins out and Wisconsin wins the Big Ten title. Do you think they're the second Big Ten team that gets in to the four-team playoff?
I think they will, and I think the way you see it now, the playoff committee is trying to get in two Big Ten teams, and for rightly so. The Big Ten right now it's the best conference. I could see that trajectory a few years ago with the type of coaches they were bringing in, and right now the Big Ten is the best conference. I don't think it's the SEC. I think it is the Big Ten with the top five or six teams holding it down in the Big Ten. I think the playoff committee is going to definitely try and get two of the Big Ten teams in the playoff when it's all said and done.
Ralph, what do you see for Nebraska, not only against Maryland but against Iowa? How do you think this team finishes out the regular season?
Well, it's going to be tough. Iowa might have, gotten some life after beating Michigan. So I think, you know, Nebraska beats Maryland handily, and then they have to deal with Iowa. Who knows what Iowa team's going to show up? They basically dominated. It was a well-coached game that they put on against the Wolverines. They made their plays when they needed to, especially down the stretch. They shut down that potent Michigan offense, and it depends who's going to show up. It's a road game for the Huskers, so they're going to have to basically play mistake-free, make sure they get off on third down, create some turnovers, and hopefully get that W in 2 weeks.
Are you rolling to Iowa, or are you going to stay away from the Arctic weather?
I'm staying away from the Arctic weather. That post-game show was pretty cold. It was in the low 30s, and I just got back from about high 80s in Southern California. So I'll probably wait till the bowl game. If you guys are down there, I'll see you down there. But you'll probably be in, you know, Florida or Arizona, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm shedding a tear for you. Oh, poor Ralph in 30-degree weather. I'll trade you a coat for that suit you were wearing. How's that sound?
All right.
Ralph, lastly, some NFL, my man. Your Minnesota Vikings got off to a great start. They had a tough one against Washington. They're now 5-4. Do you see Minnesota kind of turning it around? Do you think they still get into the postseason?
That's going to be tough. You know, you look at Green Bay and you look at Detroit. Those are going to be two tough teams with how they're playing now. And I think that the Vikings have just lost their steam. I think partly it's due to Sam Bradford. I think he came in playing right and playing within himself. It doesn't seem like he's the same quarterback that he was right when he came into that system. The defense isn't standing up as much as they can, but the offense isn't marching down the field. Teams are stopping their run game, and it's hurting. And the absence of Adrian Peterson is really showing down the stretch right now at the middle, you know, tier mark of the NFL for the Vikings.
Are you thinking the NFL is going to have a second half resurgence? I know it's week 10, but what I mean by second half is you have election stuff that's done. And you had some great matchups. You had Dallas and the Steelers. That was a great ball game. Seattle, New England was awesome on Sunday night. And then last night's Monday nighter with your Giants, one-point ball game. But the Giants are quietly just right in there. And that AFC, or I should say the NFC East, is, man, there's a cluster there when you have Dallas playing as well as they are. Washington's no stiff this year. And the Giants are winning football games. Can the East get three teams in the postseason?
It's always tough to get three. A lot of times you can get a team that's, 10-6 that mm-hmm. doesn't make it for that third team in that division. I think the NFC East might be that division. We thought they were going to be the worst division this year. Turning out that they're the best division with how those three teams are playing right now. But the resurgence of the NFL, those three games that you just spoke about were like playoff atmosphere football, and I really loved it. I like the playmaking ability that both teams had. You can tell they turned up the notch on both offense and defense in both of those games, and it was fun. And I hope that the NFL does have a resurgence because the brand of football that was played this past weekend was awesome.
Ralph, you're awesome. Thanks for your time. Great analysis as always. And folks, find Ralph on Twitter at Ralph D. Brown. And Ralph, we'll talk some Huskers soon, and thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There we go, Ralph Brown, Double Deuce, All-Century Husker at quarter, and, of course, two-time Super Bowl participant, 10-year NFL vet. Good thoughts on Nebraska. Good thoughts about Söderhamen this holiday season, just around the quarter, maybe a birthday or anniversary. Söderhamen, 1 carat diamonds, $100 a month. Go see Rick and your friends at Söderhamen, and to make it affordable for you and make it awesome for her, with that 1 carat diamond and select 1 carat diamonds at Söderhamen. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Limited time offer for these 1 carat diamonds, $100 a month. See stores for details, and got to have approved credit. Söderhamen.com, yourbestring.com. Come see Rick and the good folks at Söderhamen. The Oris watch, his and her giveaway at the Hale Varsity tailgate this Friday. Your chance to win an Oris watch for you and for her. Time to call Secret Husker right now. Secret Husker now, 466-3776, 800-825-5865.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Ah, yes, the big one at PBA tonight. TJ's grinning. I love the University of Mary. Let me tell you why. They used to be in the DAC 10. My first gig out of college, where I was kind of on my own, was in South Dakota, and Dakota State would play the University of Mary in DAC 10 play. And I think since then they've bumped up their level of division play, but back then it was NAIA. So I got to go to Bismarck, North Dakota in, I think November. Okay. Froze with the window open. It was okay. And their football entrance was pretty intimidating, and they grew them big in North Dakota. So they'd come down this walkway. The locker rooms were elevated kind of by the parking lot, and then they'd come down this walkway, and they were, it's like Boise State. They were all in blue and orange. And then they proceeded to smoke. I mean, just dismantled poor Dakota State. From a basketball standpoint, I think, I'm pretty sure, yeah, there, Minot was the other team in North Dakota. We had 50 teams in North Dakota we played. But Minot, they stuck me, the old Devaney Center, well, it still happens to do volleyball, but for basketball, back in the day, you get stuck up on the woody bleachers, like section C25. And then you felt like you could touch the catwalk up there. Well, that's where the booth was for the play-by-play people. Some of us who hate heights was for Minot, but you did the Minot, and then you did University of Mary road trip swing. So long and short story of this rambling is Mary comes in. I had a great time in Bismarck, the home of Phil Jackson, also in the news today. And
really?
No,
he's a Dakota guy?
Yeah. Hmm. He's University of North Dakota. He's not University of Mary.
Okay.
But he's from Bismarck. Hmm. Yeah. Famous North Dakotans. Okay. Roger Maris. Tim Miles, but he's from South Dakota. But he went to North Dakota. Dale Brown, who recruited Shaq, mm-hmm. the old LSU coach, is from North Dakota. Who else from North Dakota? Phil Jackson. There's three. Hmm. Don't ask me anymore. What happens tonight? It'll be on BTN to go, so it's not even getting TV time. There's 1,000 other awesome basketball games tonight because you have Kentucky playing. Who's Kentucky play? They play a Big Ten team, don't they?
I got to double check, but I know, is Kansas, Michigan State the late night?
Kansas, Michigan State. I mean, you just got a slew of games that are on tonight. I have Creighton, Wisconsin. That'll be awesome. And you have Nebraska and the University of Mary. I love what Coach Miles is doing. He's scheduling this. Coach Smith is coming in with South Dakota as well. And I love that. And Duke also schedules a game against the defending Division II national champ every year. They'll just do that, which I think is pretty gutsy. What happens tonight? I can't go. Junior's got practice. But some things that stuck out to me from last week, one or last game, was just finishing around the rim. Mm-hmm. Can they do that better? And Jordy had a tough time of it. He was 0 for. But overall, just make some finishes. And that's easier said than done because you tense up around the rim. Bench-wise, you were 2 of 18. Can you get 9 points? Yeah, 9 points, but 2 of 18 from the floor. Can you get some points bench-wise? Three, you had a work in progress lineup wise. You just do. You need to kind of feel like you know who your starters are going to be, but just from a rotation, who's going to spell, who's going to get you minutes? Because on paper, right now, how tasty does Nebraska look? I mean, just walk with me for a second. How tasty does Nebraska look when you got guys like Morrow? Was trying to break the rim. Jacobson he can score, but he didn't force it last game. Mm-hmm. Ty, freak athlete. Action Jack for three, very efficient. And then Watson's game, if he can continue to stack, not just his scoring, you know that he can do that, but he's worked on his range. But the distribution part of it, if you can play him at point and he can be a scoring point guard and then you can have Ty at the two where he can catch and slice, have fun with that. Mm-hmm. And then you got Gill off the bench. You got Jariah. I mean, you have some options, man. And you have talent. You have Jordy. I mean, you have some big dudes too. So I hope this team – I'm not expecting 20 wins, not expecting 17 wins. I'm expecting around 500. I'm expecting them to hover around 500, maybe a couple below in Big Ten play. There's enough talent there. Give them a couple of years together. And a year from now, and I know I always wait till next year. Sorry. I'm just saying, looking at the bright side of this, they got some ballers. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking to Jacob Padilla last week. And Jacob's like, the Big Ten's not going to be as strong this year, so maybe they jump up. I mean, Purdue, saw highlights of them last night. They have giant human beings that are athletic.
Yes.
Actually, they're not Frankensteins down low where they can't move or shake. I mean, that was a hell of a ball game, and credit to Nova, your defending national champ, to win on the road there. But Indiana's looked good and already got a big win. Michigan State had a 15-0 lead in their opener. They couldn't close the deal. And Sparty plays somebody good tonight.
Yeah, correct myself. Sparty plays Kentucky and then Duke, Kansas.
I thought so, yes. So I was there. I was about there. Mm-hmm. But no, I'll check out a little bit of Nebraska online tonight. And I really like this team. I love the athletes. I love how well that they've recruited. It just needs to continue to ripen is what I'm saying.
Yeah, talent's there. It's just young and inexperienced, and we kind of knew that going into this season. I think the takeaways I'll take away from game one of the regular season, Jordy, he did not finish well around the rim, but at least you saw signs that he is capable. He has moves. He looks comfortable down there. He just has got to be able to finish and finish through contact. That's a lot more than we can say when we saw guys like Moses Abraham, Christopher Nieman, or Drake Hammond. He at least looks comfortable down there. Glenn Watson played really well, and you saw flashes last year that, man, Glenn Watson can be a special player. I don't want to say what his ceiling could be, but over time, that guy could be one of the best ever to put it on Husker uniform, especially the point guard position. He is just fantastic. He already has down the toughest jump shot, the pull-up dribble. That's like his bread and butter. He had a couple catch-and-shoot shots the other night, which is great to see. So excited to watch this youth moving forward. Haven't heard if Nick Fuller is going to be available tonight to play. He was out the first game, but yeah. I'm not going tonight because I'm feeling a bit under the weather now, but that's all right.
Well, again, the nurse with the balloons is coming over. Yeah. And you got to, I can just send her here. I was sending her to your pad.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'll just say, well, just head to the radio station. Get TJ feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring some Fireball.
No, that sounds like the worst thing in the world right now.
No, I wanted to see your reaction. Because oh, either you're a Fireball person or you're not.
Oh, and I am not.
No, but I wanted to.
Oh.
Let's see. Nurse to get you feeling better. Who doesn't like balloons? And Fireball. And TJ's like, let me go home. We'll wind down a Tuesday next on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know, if you're a PR person for college or pro or just you're in PR in general, your job is putting out fires, dealing with egos, and then doing it all over again. Never-ending cycle. And you're a special person if you're in PR. And then there's this. Thank you, Ohio.com. A Cleveland Browns fan has applied for a parade with the city if the team has a perfect 0-16 season. The team spokesperson was then asked about a Cleveland fan applying for a parade to celebrate a 0-16 season.
Oh, boy.
Quote, I really don't have anything to say about it. End quote. Because you know the PR person just wanted to clench said fist and swing.
Yeah.
At the fan and at the reporter. They can't catch a break.
No. And it just seemed like they turned winners with the Cavs and the Indians. And now you're going to have some schmuck apply for a parade to go 0-16.
That'd be the Animal House parade. Where you're just blowing up the grandstands. Yes. Well, Blair Walsh is out of football.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Are you serious?
He had some big hits before he just missed that.
Before he got the yips.
Before he got the yips. He was before a really good kicker.
No, I know. He's been there for a while.
I mean, it's just, his kicker's man mental. It's just gone.
It's brutal.
Man.
Yeah, I know you're a Viking fan. I had to bring that up.
No,
that's okay. I mean, there you go. Busy one tomorrow on the program. We are excited to have Brad Edwards of ESPN. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey will be back. And Johnny Holiday. Who? Huh? Johnny Holiday's a famous, and I mean that sincerely, like Hall of Fame DJ from back in the day. And he's also a Hall of Fame sportscaster, where he's won the Chris Schenkel Award. We're talking Hall of Fame material. He is the voice of the Maryland Terrapins.
Mm.
He will talk crab cakes and football with us tomorrow. He's also doing the Maryland basketball broadcast right now, does the Washington Nationals stuff. He was a part of the presentation back in 1966. I don't care how old you are or what your music preference is. I don't know that there's many people out there in the TJ age demo, my age demo, or my parents' age demo that don't like some Beatles. Okay? He was there for the Beatles' last concert. in 66, and it was him and his radio station that put on the concert. So he got to hang with John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Hmm.
So this guy's seen it and done it all, voted the number one DJ in America back in the 70s. Then he decided to do sports from the early 90s on. There's his bio. Yeah.
Talented guy.
Oh, incredible. And Johnny Holiday will talk football with us, Nebraska and Maryland. We'll see if Uncle Jerry's busy. We may or may not have Uncle Jerry on. I'm thinking we will. So, yeah, that's what's going on. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman, Kevin Suits, Rick Pizzo, Double Deuce, Ralph Brown. Big thanks to TJ Henning for playing Hurt. Chris Schmidt, we'll talk to you next time. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.